Happy was not a word often used to describe Artemis Fowl's bodyguard. Jolly and contented were also words that were rarely applied to him, or to people in his immediate vicinity. Butler did not get to be one of the most dangerous men in the world by chatting with anyone who happened to stroll past, unless the chat concerned exit routes and concealed weapons. On this particular afternoon, Butler and Artemis were in Spain, and the bodyguard's Eurasian features were even more taciturn than normal. His young charge was, as usual, making Butler's job more complicated than it needed to be. Artemis had insisted that they stand on the sidewalk of Barcelona's Passeig de Gràcia for over an hour in the afternoon sun, with only a few slender trees to provide them with cover from the heat, or possible enemies. This was the fourth unexplained trip to foreign locations in as many months. First Edinburgh, then Death Valley in the American West, followed by an extremely arduous trek to doubly landlocked Uzbekistan, and now Barcelona. All to wait for a mysterious visitor, who had not as yet made an appearance. They made an odd couple on the busy pathway. A huge, muscular man, 40s, Hugo Boss suit, shaven head, and a slight teenager, pale, raven-haired with large, piercing blue-black eyes. "Why must you circle so, Butler?" said Artemis, irritated. He knew the answer to his own question, but according to his calculations, the expected visitor to Barcelona was a minute late, and he allowed his annoyance to transfer to the bodyguard. "You know perfectly well why, Artemis," replied Butler. "In case there is a sniper or an audio tech on one of the rooftops, I am circling to provide maximum cover." Artemis was in the mood to demonstrate his genius. This was a mood in which he frequently found himself, and as satisfying as these demonstrations were for the 14-year-old Irish boy, they could be intensely irritating for anyone on the receiving end. "Firstly, it is hardly likely that there is a sniper gunning for me," he said. "I have liquidated 80% of my illegal ventures and spread the capital across an extremely lucrative portfolio. Secondly, any audio tech trying to eavesdrop on us may as well pack up and go home, as the third button on your jacket is emitting a selenium pulse that whites out any surveillance tape, human or fairy." Butler glanced at a passing couple, who were bewitched by Spain and young love. The man had a camcorder slung round his neck. Butler fingered his third button guiltily. "We may have ruined a few honeymoon videos," he noted. Artemis shrugged. "A small price to pay for my privacy." "Was there a third point?" asked Butler innocently. "Yes," said Artemis, a touch testily. Still no sign of the individual he was expecting. "I was about to say that if there is a gunman on one of these buildings, it's that one directly to the rear, so you should stay behind me." Butler was the best bodyguard in the business, and even he couldn't be 100% sure which rooftop a potential gunman would be on. "Go on, tell me how you know. I know you're dying to."
"Very well, since you ask. No sniper would position himself on the rooftop of Casamila, directly across the street, because it is open to the public, and so his access and escape would probably be recorded."
"His or her," corrected Butler. "Most metal men are women these days."
"His or her," amended Artemis. "The two buildings on the right are somewhat screened by foliage, so why handicap yourself?"
"Very good, go on."
"The cluster behind us is a group of financial buildings with private security stickers on the windows. A professional would avoid any confrontation he is not being paid for."
Butler nodded. It was true.
"And so I logically conclude that your imaginary sniper would pick the four-story construction to our left. It is residential, so access is easy. The roof affords him or her a direct line of fire, and the security is possibly dismal, and more than likely non-existent."
Butler snorted. Artemis was probably right, but in the protection game, probably wasn't nearly as comforting as a Kevlar vest. "You're probably right," admitted the bodyguard, "but only if the sniper is as smart as you are."
"Good point," said Artemis.
"And I imagine you could put together a convincing argument for any one of these buildings. You just picked that one to keep me out of your line of vision, which leads me to believe that whoever you're expecting will turn up outside Casamila." Artemis smiled.
"Well done, old friend." Casamila was an early 20th century dwelling designed by the Spanish Art Nouveau architect, Antonio Gaudi. The facade consisted of curved walls and balconies topped by twisted ironworks. The walkway outside the building was thronged with tourists, lining up for the afternoon tour of the spectacular house. "Will we recognize our visitor among all these people? Are you sure he's not already here, watching us?" Artemis smiled and his eyes glittered. "Believe me, he's not here. If he were, there would be a lot more screaming." Butler scowled. Once, just once, he would like to get all the facts before they boarded the jet. But that wasn't the way Artemis worked. To the young Irish genius, the reveal was the most important part of his schemes. "At least tell me if our contact will be armed."
"I doubt it," said Artemis. "And even if he is, he won't be with us for more than a second."
"A second? Just beaming down through outer space, is he?"
"Not space, old friend," said Artemis, checking his wristwatch. "Time."
The boy sighed. "Anyway, the moment is past. It seems as though I've brought us here for nothing. Our visitor has not materialized. The chances were slim. Obviously, there was nobody at the other end of the rift.